Haley and Donald Trump. Haley, the clear target for her competitors on stage.
I love all the attention, fellas. Thank you for that.
From Chris Christie, the question for the others, is the missing man, Donald Trump, fit to be president?
You're not answering
you
it.
Just is he don't fit? Like, you, is have he your, fit? You have
no.
your thing.
Is he
you
fit or isn't he? Thing. No, I don't have my thing.
We don't.
He's the thing.
Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
2 months after he was booted from office, former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy says he will leave Congress by the end of the year. Three people have been shot and killed on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Terrifying students.
I don't know if I feel like crying or I feel like angry. I'm not too sure, but I'm just like really confused right now because we've never been in like a close quarter situation like this.
Another student.
Trying to learn to become leaders of tomorrow, and people are scared now because every time you step on a college campus, there's shootings every single year now, and it's just getting scarier and scarier.
Two law enforcement sources tell CBS News the shooter was a white man in his 60s. Israeli leaders are getting tough criticism about their efforts to free hostages being held by Hamas. CBS's Chris Livesay has that from Jerusalem.
The rage of freed hostages is boiling over. In leaked audio of a meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, one woman is heard complaining of the feeling that no one was doing anything for us. I was in a hiding place that was shelled, and an Israeli helicopter shot at us on the way to Gaza.
Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden says the U.S. and foreign governments have quietly been using push notifications from both Apple and Google to surveil people. Reaction from CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
If the U.S. or a foreign government is able to use its various laws to force Apple and Google to give it access to these push notifications, it means data that's included as a preview, for example, of an email or a text message could be read by the government, along with other details shared in that notification.
The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor 82 years ago today. President Franklin Roosevelt addressed Congress the following day, asking for a declaration of war.
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
It was during that famous speech that Roosevelt called December 7th a date which will live in infamy. Again, Pearl Harbor attacked 82 years ago today. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Hey, son.
Jim Gaffigan,
how are you
here
feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. Welcome to this special breaking news edition of the Todd Albaugh Show. It is Wednesday, December 6th, now 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We have a big show for you today, and we are happy to have you all along. Coming up in hour number two, we are honored to have join us Kelly Call, a Wisconsin native, a graduate of UW-Madison, and the former president of CBS Entertainment will be along, as well as Jim McCarrons. He is a former VP of CBS as well, a writer and lecturer specifically on Norman Lear, the great Norman Lear, great writer, producer, creator of great shows such as All in the Family, The Jeffersons, One Day at a Time, changed television and American culture, I would argue, forever. Kelly Call and Jim McCarrons will be here in hour number two to talk about that. But first of all, breaking news story across Wisconsin today, breaking less than an hour ago via the Washington Post. And the author of the story, the great reporter, Patrick Marley, longtime journalist here in Wisconsin for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, more recently now of the Washington Post,
has broken the story that the Wisconsin Trump fake electors have settled their lawsuit, and in so doing, have now agreed that Joe Biden, in fact, won the 2020 election, which, of course, we know to be fact, and seemingly have flipped on others in the case. Joining us to discuss it, as always, on Wednesday, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio from 6 until 8 across Civic Media, Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, emphasize on former, and joining us specially to talk about the legal issues, my great friend and colleague and host of Matt Flynn Direct, following our program each and every afternoon on Civic Media at 2 o'clock, Matt Flynn on Matt Flynn Direct. Matt, I want to go right to you. You are an attorney. You are a former two-time chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. But more importantly, your legal analysis, you have been on this, my friend, since it first started. You've been talking about this. Tell us your reflections as an attorney on this breaking news by the Washington Post.
Great. Yeah, well, Todd, first of all, it's a pleasure to be on your show. You're a great host. It's a pleasure to be here with Pat and Trigva and Aaron. But you're the one that broke it to me. You called me an hour ago. This is the first I heard of it, and told me about this settlement. And here are my views, and I'll just kick it off by saying this. There are two kinds of cases. There's criminal and civil. This was a civil case. In a moment, I'm going to say something about why there is no prosecution of it criminally. Mm-hmm. But the civil case was brought to, in effect, to get damages and to get a declaratory judgment and an injunction against these fake electors. Now, bringing a case involves attorney's fees. And as I understand it, I've not read the settlement agreement yet, but this is a bit of a slap on the wrist. This has them saying, okay, we agree Joe Biden won the election as president. Well, duh. Yeah, he has. He's been president for 2.5 years. He's been right in the White House. Secondly, I think some of the other terms are that they can't do it again. Well, all right, they can't do it again, and they can't do it in 2024. But third, the one little piece of valuable stuff in this is that they would cooperate with the Department of Justice. Now, I have a feeling that it was clear that they weren't going to be getting large damages, the plaintiffs, and it's expensive to keep up a lawsuit. But the one kernel of good that I see coming out of this is this, and I'm sure they thought about it and they somehow decided to do it anyway. If Josh Call decides to prosecute, and remember, there are different kinds of statutes of limitations. Right now, this happened back in late 2000, early 2001, let's say late 2000, when they met here in Madison and then they sent in the false certification. We're bumping up on 3 years, coming up fairly close. And there are different statutes of limitations for different things. Perjury, which is what this is, obstruction of Congress. And I've not researched all of them, but some are 2 years, some are 3 years, some are 5 years, and so on. Is Josh Call going to prosecute this thing? Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is this settlement agreement is admissible in evidence against them in a criminal proceeding. Mm-hmm. In other words, if Josh Call decides to prosecute them and they go on the stand and say, I didn't do it, you just show them this and you said, you agree that Joe Biden was the elected guy, and yet you knifed them anyway. So the only real sanction that comes out of this is going to be if Josh Call decides to do what I think is the right thing and prosecute these guys, like the Attorney General of Michigan, like the District Attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, and quite frankly, Jack Smith, the big kahuna, going after Trump himself. But there's an investigation in Nevada, there's an investigation in Arizona. For Pete's sake, Josh, get off the dime. Here you have exhibit number one in a prosecution.
Matt, let's take people back for those that might not follow this as closely as the rest of us. This stems from after Donald Trump lost the election and Joe Biden legitimately won the election. These Republicans met in the state capitol and created a fake set of electors. They signed their name to it and they attempted on January 6th to get this done. And that's kind of where this stemmed from, correct?
No, that's exactly right. And listen, Ron Johnson, our senator, should be a defendant too. He was walking around with the fake electors from Michigan, as well as Wisconsin, in his pocket, and tried to feed them to Mike Pence. He was in on it. Robin Voss was in on it. He set up the conference room and told everybody to shut up about it and try to conceal it. And Fitzgerald, who's now a congressman, apparently was the one who steered them to that conference room. So there's a lot of people with blood on their hands in this thing, and that's exactly right. These were the fake electors.
So according to this great reporting by Patrick Marley of the Washington Post, and again, he is going to join us after the break at the bottom of the hour on this program live. But according to Marley's reporting, no money is being exchanged as part of the settlement. However, the Biden electors are continuing their lawsuit against two attorneys who assisted the Wisconsin Republicans, Jim Troupas, a former Dane County judge who led Trump's recount efforts in the state, and Kenneth Chesbro, who advised Republicans around the country and pleaded guilty in October to conspiring to overturn Biden's win in Georgia. So, Matt, it appears that those two folks are not off the hook. And here's the thing I want you to also talk about in the time we have left here. According to Marley, the 10 Republicans said they would not assist with any attempts to submit fault elector paperwork in any election. They also promised to assist or to help the Department of Justice with its investigation to help the Biden electors as they continue their lawsuit against Troupas and Chesbro.
Yeah, and that's significant. With Troupas and Chesbro, who were in on it up to their ears, to have these people agree to cooperate against them will be very significant witnesses. And that litigation is ongoing. But the other thing is to let a guy off simply by saying, I was wrong to do it and I won't do it again. You know, there's a lot of people like to get off on that basis. Right. Now, here, I have a feeling they figured it's not going anywhere financially, and we're burning up legal fees and so forth. So what the heck? But what I want to emphasize.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well,
no.
is Josh Call has exhibit number one.
As an attorney, Matt, you've been in a lot of courtrooms at all levels, from local all the way through federal, all the way up the bench. You've seen a lot of things in the courtroom. In your legal opinion, Matt, as an attorney, do you think this is a good deal for the people of Wisconsin and the United States? Do you agree with what the prosecutors have cut here?
I do. And there's an old adage that the best settlement is one where everybody on both sides is dissatisfied with it. In other words, I'm not gonna get in their head. I mean, the thing is, they were gonna win, but what are they gonna win? Yeah, they're an injunction and a declaratory judgment, and that and 50 cents will get you on the bus. I mean, you know, what are they gonna win? They're not gonna get any money, but they got them to admit that they did wrong. But what they really got them to do is two things, Troupas and Chesbro. And if Josh Call would just get off the dime and prosecute these people, he has exhibit number one.
Before we let him go, Pat Kreitler of Up North News, Trigvi Olson, Lincoln Project, any questions you have for Matt from a legal perspective in this case breaking today?
Well, from a legal standpoint, I wonder about a couple of things. First off, whether, you know, Scott Fitzgerald, who was then still the Senate Republican leader and a congressman-elect, faces any liability for his role in getting these frauds into the Capitol building while there were still COVID restrictions in place. They weren't supposed to be there. And what did we learn from Patrick's reporting? This, as they were in the building that day, they brought a 4-man armed security team with them, according to text messages. I do wonder about, you know, Scott Fitzgerald's culpability and how this got to be such a mess. And then, you know, the other is Bob Spindell. He is still on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And whether you think there's any chance that that will change, or if Spindell will be allowed to hold on to that, you know, somewhat important position, Matt, on the State Elections Commission.
Yeah, those are some very excellent points, Pat, very excellent points and some very good factual context. And I do think that Fitzgerald and Ron Johnson and Robin Voss have culpability here. And if there were a criminal prosecution, if Fannie Willis or somebody like the AG in Michigan were bringing it, they'd be in very, very hot water. With Spindell, remember, he was one of the ones, he is a fake elector, but more importantly, He is on the Wisconsin Election Commission voting on things having to do with elections in 2024. Right. And they won't take him off. And now they're trying to turn it over to the Secretary of State, but really have them keep control. We have to stop that. But that's excellent context. There's a lot of culpable people who are not let off by this settlement.
Trigvi Olsen, about two minutes left. Any specific questions for Matt before I let him go?
Yeah, I kind of wonder, Matt, do you think that this is a case? I mean, Smith is obviously focused on Trump, right, for starters, because he's got to move that fast.
Right.
But you would think that people who are members of Congress and elected officials in these things are typically held to a higher bar than citizens who end up playing a role, right? It's like the straw donations thing.
Correct.
Is it possible that they're just cutting the deal with these guys because they're really thinking, okay, Donald Trump is the guy we've got to move expeditiously on because of the elections, but they still would have time to go back after some of the others who are elected officials who played a role in this, and these people would be pretty helpful in that.
Matt, about a minute left, your response.
Yeah, I think that's right. And certainly with Troupas and Chesbro, that's very true. I'd like to think that Ron Johnson, that Fitzgerald and Voss would be in on this in terms of being defendants. And I also would really like to see our attorney general at least start a John Doe or a grand jury investigation, because that's what they did in Arizona and in Nevada.
Great reporting, everyone, especially Patrick Marley. He'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. Matt Flynn direct follows us immediately at 2 o'clock. Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate your perspective. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Todd.
Stay tuned. Thank you, Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen continue on the other side. This is a special.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a special edition breaking news of the Todd Allbowl Show for Wednesday, December 6th, now 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for joining us across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app worldwide. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. Simply put in Civic Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. With us, as always, on Wednesdays, it is Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, former Republican like myself, and host of Up North News Radio every morning across Civic Media from 6 until 8, our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow. Gentlemen, speaking of a deal, did either one of you, we're covering this breaking news, the Washington Post, Patrick Marley, the reporter who broke it, will be on the air with us after our next break at the bottom of the hour. Did either one of you expect this announcement today? Is this why you thought this would end with these fake electors in Wisconsin essentially cutting a deal with the prosecution? Pat?
No, didn't expect it. And frankly, and trust me when I say I'm taking a different point of view than Matt Flynn. I'm completely deferring to his experience, but he talks about, you know, burning through the money and they weren't looking for a financial settlement. I don't think they ever were looking for a financial settlement. I think this is exactly what they were looking for. I think this is an out and out win that these fake electors were feeling the pressure, maybe know something about, you know, that perhaps call or somebody else is looking into things. This is a major victory for you know, the true electors for Wisconsin voters, for democracy, to get this kind of an agreement, this kind of acknowledgement, this kind of, you know, rescinding of their claims, this degree of cooperation with the Department of Justice, the access to messages and even photos that hadn't previously been seen. This is an amazing get from Law Forward and from the plaintiffs. Again, I don't know the degree to which the Wisconsin Department of Justice is involved, but they should be so fortunate as to get this kind of a massive victory. Trigvy?
Yeah, I agree with Pat. I mean, I think this is a win for voters in Wisconsin that these guys had to admit what they were doing and that the election was not fraudulent. I thought one of the interesting things in Patrick's piece was Andrew Hitt saying he wouldn't ever support Donald Trump again.
Yes.
That, you know, I mean, he was chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party. He's a really conservative guy. I think he probably has felt the cognitive dissonance of backing Trump. The fact that he's come out and said that, I think, is important. Now, it'll be interesting to see how much he's willing to say that to people, at least in terms of the politics of it. But I agree with Pat. It's a good day for the people of Wisconsin and who and what Wisconsin is about. And the Attorney General's office, and quite frankly, the federal prosecutors, whoever pushed this, they deserve credit for holding these people accountable and making them have to apologize.
Trivia, I want to pick up on this. Andrew Hitt, a native of Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, like myself. In fact, we used to go to the same church, Peace United Methodist Church at Richland Center.
What do you always say? There is always a Richland Center
there's,
connection.
There's always 6 degrees always. Of separation to Richland Center. Absolutely.
As Richland Center goes, so goes the nation, Todd.
But I know this guy. He was one of the top attorneys for former Governor Scott Walker during the Walker administration, was the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. As Trigvy said, an adamant conservative Republican. And he says, quote, in this piece by Patrick Marley in Washington Post, "I will not be supporting Trump in 2024. We have serious problems facing this country, and we need a president who will not repeat 2020 and will focus on tackling those difficult issues," unquote. Is this finally, Trigvy, as someone who knows Republican politics better than anybody I know, we've said this for a long time. A lot of these people don't believe the divisive and dangerous rhetoric that they talk about. And when pushed under the law and facing legal consequences, the truth seems to come out.
Yeah. And I think in his case, I mean, you know, I don't know the legal ease world all that well, but I would think that he would have some potential to be disbarred for being part of something mm-hmm. like that. So, like, but I mean, this is what happens. You know, Rick Wilson, my colleague at the Lincoln Project, wrote a book, "Everything Trump Touches Dies." You know, he just leaves carnage in his wake, and there's all kinds of people who end up being wasted in it, and he just keeps doing what he's doing. And I mean, Andrew Hitt's in the same spot that Jenna Ellis and mm-hmm. Sidney Powell and all of these people who have Rudy Giuliani, who have done Donald Trump's bidding. You end up Michael Cohen. You end up serving the time, and he keeps doing what he's doing.
Pat Kreitlow, you're not only a great former journalist, now back on the air with Up North News Radio every morning 6 until 8. You're also a former state legislator, a former state senator on the Democratic side. You know Scott Fitzgerald, former Republican Senate Majority Leader. I was in a lot of meetings with him when I worked for my former boss, Dale Schultz, in the state Senate. You brought this up. And now this guy who is a former aide Darrell Carlson, a former aide to Fitzgerald, saying, quote, "This country's party system is broken," unquote. Again, Pat, these people that we saw that were just, the rhetoric just flows out of them, you know, like milk and honey. And now when pressed, it turns out they don't believe any of this, Pat. It's a dangerous thing, in my opinion.
It is, and all in the pursuit of power, however noble they think the cause might be, whether it's for economic issues or for social issues or whatever the case may be. But when you so casually cast aside the rules of the road, in this case democracy, in order to pursue, you know, whatever you think your noble goals are,
You've lost that nobility. You've lost the high ground in this case. And I can't help but comment as a former legislator on, again, the mention in the article of Senator Ron Johnson. We knew this already, but Patrick Marley brings it up again, that Ron Johnson, in the aftermath of the election, was quite public about how the Wisconsin legislature ought to just simply take over choosing the electors. And he has said that they should, if not abolish the Wisconsin Elections Commission, then, you know, just ignore it. And again, it makes him so, I mean, you hate to throw the word anti-American out there, but this is the same guy who just yesterday is again calling for Ukraine to basically surrender. So, right. You know, as somebody who's been friendly or cozy with Putin's positions for a long time, I don't have any problem using that phrase when he is talking so callously about dismantling parts of our democracy.
I want to pick up on that, Pat, because about 2 minutes left here before I have to go on to the next segment, but with Patrick Marley. But you bring this up, and we about taking over the Wisconsin Election Commission. There is a bill now moving through the legislature, a Republican-sponsored bill, where they are going to try to remove the oversight of Wisconsin's elections, which have been the freest, fairest, most accurate we can find, nothing wrong with them, and take that power away from the Wisconsin Election Commission and basically put it in the hands of the legislature. It appears, Pat, this is just more evidence of an assault on the freedoms that we have, the freedoms of fair and accurate voting by the current legislature.
And it's coming from the chair of the Senate Elections Committee, Dan Knodel. When the chair of the Elections Committee cannot be a guardrail for democracy and instead is making the case, well, you should let us, the legislature, decide this. But I'm not even going to tell you that. I'm going to couch it by saying, let's give this to the Secretary of State, but she or he can't make any decisions without the legislature saying so. That should raise some huge red flags.
Well, you and I are old enough, all three of us are old enough to remember when my former party, Trigg Minaya's former party, the Republicans, tried to take all the power away from Doug La Follette when he was the Democratic Secretary of State because they didn't trust him. Now they want to take it back because they think they could control it. The irony is rich. Pat Kreitler, you can listen to him every morning from 6 until 8 on Up North News Radio. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you sticking around. Stay around. My pleasure. Trigvi Olson, I'll be back on the other side with the great Patrick Marley from the Washington Post, who broke this story here live on Civic Media's Todd Allbowl Show, a special edition. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Four of the five Republican presidential candidates went at it last night on News Nation. Vivek Ramaswamy took on Chris Christie.
Chris, your version of foreign policy experience was closing a bridge from New Jersey to New York. Yeah.
Donald Trump was at a fundraiser in Florida during the debate. Three people have been shot and killed on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Police Sheriff Kevin McMahill.
Our hearts go out to the entire UNLV community. No student should have to fear pursuing their dreams on a college campus.
The shooter has been killed. Police say he was a white man in his 60s. The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor 82 years ago today. President Roosevelt addressed Congress the next day asking for a declaration of war.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's fake Republican electors are admitting Joe Biden won the presidency in 2020. It's part of a civil lawsuit settlement announced Wednesday. The fake electors also agree not to serve on the Electoral College in 2024. It's the first time any fake electors from anywhere in the country are admitting to wrongdoing. Governor Evers signed 48 bills into law on Wednesday. Included in those bills are a slate of changes to voting ahead of next year's election. One of those bills changes the deadlines for clerks to send out absentee ballots. Another would require clerks to retain video footage of election night proceedings for 22 months. Evers also vetoed several election-related bills, including one that would change who could be declared indefinitely confined and another that would have lowered the cost of registered voting lists. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, 50 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Partly sunny and back to the upper 40s to near 50 on Friday. Friday night, some rain late, 31. Then some rain and snow possible for your Saturday. Breezy with a high of 37. Right now, it's 28.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in
from Whitey Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a breaking news special edition of the Todd Allball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. It is Wednesday, December 6, 2023, 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon following this breaking news story of just over an hour ago, broken by the great journalist Patrick Marley of the Washington Post. Headline, Wisconsin Trump electors settle lawsuit and agree that Joe Biden won the presidential election in 2020, something that, of course, has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Several people have been lawsuits about it. Reporters have checked into it. CBS's Major Garrett actually wrote a book on it called The Big Truth. And finally now, people like, as we said in the first segment, people like from Southwest Wisconsin, Andrew Hitt, who I know well, former attorney for Scott Walker during his administration, former chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, finally admitting that Trump won the election and saying that he will not support Trump in 2024. This settlement is a civil settlement. Joining me as per usual on a Wednesday is Trigvi Olson, former Republican like myself, now senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Always great to have Trigvi along. And joining us right now via phone, The reporter who broke this story for the Washington Post, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you might recognize his name if you read some of the great work that he's done over the years there, and went on to a national publication. They are fortunate to have him. We are fortunate to have him with us today. Patrick, thank you so much on a busy day for you for joining us. Great work.
Thank you, Todd.
My pleasure.
Good to be with you.
As always, it's great to talk to you. Of course, we used to run into each other in the halls of the state capitol when we both worked there, and have always admired your reporting. You're a fair reporter, do great work. How did you come to learn about this settlement, and what are some of the key takeaways? We've talked about it in the first segment. We had Matt Flynn on talking about the legal aspect, but as a reporter, what things really stuck out to you, and how did you come to find this story?
Well, the settlement was filed in court today. I've been following this case. I was at the Capitol when the electors were meeting. That was the Democratic electors who were, you know, the actual electors of the state. And at the same time, the Republicans in Wisconsin and six other states were meeting as well. They said at the time, and they say now, in case a court were to eventually rule in their favor, that they needed to hold these votes. Of course, the material that they produced ended up being used on January 6th to try to subvert the outcome of the election as Congress was certifying it. So I've been following this closely, you know, since the time the electors met, since the lawsuit was filed, and this filing came in today that included the settlement and included a number of documents that were turned up in discovery, text messages and email exchanges as the Republicans in Wisconsin were considering meeting and held their meeting in December of 2020. So, I mean, some of the, you know, the when the lawsuit was first filed, the plaintiffs, who are a couple of Biden electors, they alleged that these Republicans had defrauded voters, and they were seeking up to $200,000 apiece from each of them. But they also said that their real goal was to shine a light on what had happened and prevent it from happening again. So in the settlement, no money is exchanged. They aren't requiring the Republicans to pay their legal bills. They're not extracting any fines from them. But they have got this agreement that the 10 electors have put out this formal statement that that Biden won the election, that they are going to withdraw these filings they made with the National Archives and the U.S. Senate and other federal agencies. And they won't be electors in 2024. They won't be electors anytime Trump is on the ballot in the future. And they've promised not to engage in any effort to help people who are claiming to be electors if they don't have the actual certificate from the state governor saying that they're the true electors.
We are talking live on the phone with Patrick Marley. He is a reporter for the Washington Post who broke this story today of the settlement of these fake electors, my words, of fake electors who attempted to subvert the election of January 6th and in Congress. And there's been a settlement, as Patrick has said, on this civil case. Patrick, one of the things that really stuck out to me in your reporting, and I quote your article here, they meaning these people who were the defendants, also promised to assist the Department of Justice with its investigation to help the Biden electors as they continue their lawsuit against Jim Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro. Troupas did not immediately respond for a request to comment, and the attorney for Chesbro did not have an initial comment. But to me, Patrick, that seems to be a key element. I mean, perhaps these are my words, not yours. It would appear these guys have flipped on Troupas and Chesbro and are going to be helpful in the prosecution moving forward. Is that accurate?
Well, we can't call it a prosecution because it's a civil lawsuit filed by civil parties. You know, nobody in Wisconsin has been charged related to what the electors did. We have no indication that the Attorney General Josh Call is investigating that. That has happened in some other states. The electors in Michigan were charged with crimes. Those cases are ongoing. Some, but not all of the electors in Georgia were charged. There are criminal investigations happening in Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico. I think that covers all the states we know of.
Mm-hmm.
But this civil case, when it was filed by the Biden electors, was against the 10 Republicans who claimed to be electors in Wisconsin, as well as Jim Troupas, who was the attorney for Trump, who oversaw the recount in Wisconsin, and Kenneth Chesbro, who was a Trump attorney or an attorney assisting Trump in multiple states over this regarding the people who are meeting as electors. Those two, Chesbro and Troupas, are not part of the settlement. The case is ongoing. We don't know what their perspective is. They haven't talked yet. But yes, as part of the settlement, the 10 Wisconsin electors agreed to assist with the ongoing case, as well as with the Department of Justice. You know, Jack Smith, the special counsel, is investigating all things related to January 6th and the attempts to overturn the election. Andrew Hitt, the former chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, said today that he has been cooperating with the U.S. Department of Justice since May of 2022, so for a year and a half now.
I'm going to let Trevi jump in a second, but I want to get quickly, I would sort of button this up off our text line. WRCE in Richland Center, Robert from Richland Center asks or says, this is a civil lawsuit brought by two of the real electors. So does this mean that the deal is with them and not the prosecutors? That would be correct based on what you just said, correct, Patrick?
That's correct. It's a settlement between the electors who filed the lawsuit. And so this has no implications for anything a prosecutor might do.
We are talking with Patrick Marley, the reporter for The Washington Post, who broke this story on the settlement of the Trump electors agreeing that Joe Biden won the 2020 election. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, who joins us each and every Wednesday. Trigvi, any questions directly for Patrick?
Well, first, I'd just like to say, Pat, that's a great story. I mean, I think the depth of what you had, the Andrew Hitt stuff, it really was a great piece. I guess what I'm curious, and I know you spend a fair amount of time also focusing on Michigan, how would you compare the approaches that the two attorney generals have taken in pursuing the fake electors?
That's a great question, and the answer is very differently. So the attorney general there in Michigan initially looked into a similar situation played out in Michigan with Republicans in that state. You know, Biden won Michigan just like he won Wisconsin. Republicans there submitted paperwork claiming to be the state's true electors. The attorney general, Dan and Nessel, investigated that and at one point turned what she had over to the U.S. Department of Justice. I can't remember if it was the Department of Justice or the special counsel at that time, but at any rate, said this is proper for the federal government. Then she didn't feel that they were moving quickly enough, and so early this year, she sort of reclaimed the case, and she filed criminal charges against, they have 16 electors there, filed criminal charges against all of them. Those cases are in the very early stages. They have dropped the charges against one of the 16 electors there who is cooperating, but we haven't seen the terms of any deal they might have. They've just dropped the charges for that person. And so, you know, it's just a very different posture. In Wisconsin, we have not seen any indication that the attorney general has been investigating. Now, I suppose it's possible that he is investigating and we just don't know about it. But if that is the case, he's keeping it extremely quietly. I don't believe that he's investigating, but I guess we don't know for sure.
I mean, I think, you know, it's fascinating to me, and I do think the fact that these people had to admit that what they did was wrong and that Joe Biden won is a substantial step.
I would just say that, like, this agreement states that they are not admitting to wrongdoing. They are saying now that Joe Biden was elected the president. They don't dispute that in any court filings I've seen. Andrew Hitt was very explicit today in saying he believes he and the other Republicans were deceived, that they were tricked, presumably by the Trump campaign as part of this, but they are not admitting to having done anything wrong. From their perspective,
no wrongdoing.
They believed that they were doing this to keep their legal options open in case the state Supreme Court case that they just lost an hour before this decision, that could be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And should they win, they would have these electoral votes that could then be cast. Of course, the filings that they made were used in a very different way in the end, or right. attempted to be used by others in a very different way.
Along with Trigvi Olsen, I'm Todd Albaugh. We are joined on this special edition of the show on civic media by the great reporter Patrick Marley of the Washington Post, covering the story that Patrick broke today in the Washington Post, that the Wisconsin Trump electors have settled their civil lawsuit. And I want to go, Patrick, to something that you wrote here in your story. You say, quote, "The records also show the Republicans tried to keep their meeting out of the public eye, changing which room in the state capitol they met in to avoid passing the office of a Democratic lawmaker whose staff might recognize them. They brought a four-manned armed security team with them, according to text messages." I know as a reporter, you're not here to offer your personal opinion, but just someone who has worked in the Capitol, the building, a long time, know a lot of these actors. What does that just say to you as a reporter who keeps your antenna up?
Well, I mean, they didn't want to be seen in their meeting, it seemed. And I know that because I was running around the Capitol that day trying to find what room they were in, and I was unsuccessful in finding them during the meeting. I talked to some of the people they were with. Mark Jefferson, the executive director of the state party, was outside the Capitol that day, and I was remember walking up to him and trying to figure out where they were. So, on the one hand, they weren't, you know, when you approach them and you ask them about it, yes, they gave the description of what they're doing then that they get today. We're doing this as part of our legal options. But they didn't want to put any attention on it. You see a lot of back and forth and text messages that have come out through the court documents about how to approach this. There's one, this is secondhand, but Rudy Giuliani was telling them don't have any media alerts at all about this. And there was some pushback from that from Andrew Hitt saying, like, well, we want to put out a statement and tell people what we've done after the fact. So there's some tension there, but clearly, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how to bring people in the building, how much time beforehand to bring them into the state capitol, whether Andrew Hitt and Bob Spindell, who would be more easily recognized by the media because they're, you know, more public figures, whether they should bring them in at a different time or at a different entrance, figuring out which room to meet in. And yes, at one point they say, well, if we do it in the Senate parlor, it's near the Democratic leader's office, and so we should find a different room.
Well, 45 seconds left, Patrick. What do you think this says moving forward? Do you think Jack Smith and others can use this? Is this going to propel other litigation? What does your sense as a reporter tell you?
I don't think that – I mean, I think that it's information that Jack Smith can use for different aspects of his investigation, which is obviously focused on Trump and the broader effort to try to overturn the results. I don't think that we should read into that somehow that's going to be used against these electors. These electors are cooperating, so the notion that they would then be targeted by Jack Smith seems a little remote.
Thanks so much, Patrick Marley of Washington Post. Great reporting. Thank you for joining us, my friend. I appreciate it. Back on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lavelle Show across the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin, streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. We are here live in our headquarters studios, our world headquarters studios, high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. As per usual, Trygve Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, joins us on Wednesdays. We thank Patrick Marley, the great reporter of the Washington Post, joining us last segment, discussing this story that he broke today. Wisconsin Trump electors settle a lawsuit, agree Joe Biden won in 2020. Trygve, a fascinating look at one of the most historic times in Wisconsin political history.
Yeah, I mean, fascinating in many levels. And I said that to Patrick. I mean, what a great, that is an amazing story that he's put together. I think understanding the background, you know, the fact that he was in the building that day looking for him says so much about what kind of reporter Patrick is. And it's not like guys like you and I didn't know that, Todd, but people in the state of Wisconsin are lucky to have those kinds of reporters on the beat. It's important. And the fact, quite frankly, that the Washington Post has somebody like Patrick in Wisconsin covering the state, that says a lot about the importance of Wisconsin because of issues like this.
I know, and to his credit, I mean, I've known Patrick a long time, wrote a lot of stories about my former bosses, was always fair, but was dogged. And, you know, made you come forth and be honest with him. And you're absolutely right. The fact that Patrick Marley couldn't find these fake electors tells me that they were going to great lengths. And you said during our break off the air on the stream, I mean, how do these people get armed guards in the Capitol when you're not supposed to have firearms at the Capitol?
Boy, if I were the Capitol Police, I would be interested in that little tidbit because... Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Also, and again, Patrick's a great reporter, so he wasn't going to give us his opinion, but we will. I'm interested in this, Trygve. The last paragraph in Patrick Marley's story says, on January 5th, 2021, a day before the Capitol, U.S. Capitol, was attacked as Congress met to certify the results, Wisconsin GOP staffer Alicia Genther flew to Washington so she could deliver the elector paperwork for the Wisconsin Republicans. Quote, 5 minutes until I make the drop, she told Andrew Hitt, the chairman of the state Republican Party at the time, in a text. Quote, I feel like a drug dealer. Unquote. That's the way the story ends. You and I have both been in politics a long time, Trygve. When you tell a fellow Republican you feel like a drug dealer about something you're doing, that doesn't sound like someone who believes that they're following the law and doing the right thing.
That is true. They knew what they were doing was wrong. It isn't like, I mean, there's a part of me that thinks, okay, they're saying, all right, Biden won, but they're not admitting wrongdoing. They all knew that wrongdoing was going on. They knew that based on what's in the Georgia case and the fact that some of them were texting with each other, saying, well, maybe this isn't right, maybe this isn't legal. They knew what they were doing was not on the up and up, and they knew all along that Joe Biden had won the state of Wisconsin. I mean, I was on you'll think this is kind of funny maybe, but I think listeners will find it interesting. I was on a call with some people from outside the state of Wisconsin, and they were asking about elections in the state of Wisconsin. And I said, you know, having been involved in multiple recounts in the state of Wisconsin going back two decades, mm-hmm. Wisconsin votes just don't change. So much of Wisconsin uses optical scanners. Like, Wisconsin is a state that has really invested in having good elections. And so when they try and say, well, what was it, you know, that wasn't right, they come up with all these like shiny objects, drop boxes, ballot harvesting, whatever. But they have no meaning, right? They're just attempts to confuse and create chaos, and they know that it's wrong.
I want to ask you about this, Trigvi, because we've talked a couple of times this week on this program about something I'm calling, my words, a split of sorts of the Republican Party. We saw this with Ryan Priebus now over the weekend, last past weekend, telling George Stephanopoulos on This Week that he is going to support Donald Trump for president, even with 91 indictments. He said he's in 110%, if that's what the Republican Party wants, unquote. And meanwhile, former Republican Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin has said he will not even attend the RNC convention in Milwaukee if Trump is the nominee, and has tantamount endorsing Nikki Haley. You can't be on both Ryan Priebus' side and Paul Ryan's side. And at the legislative level, Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, is maintaining that he will not release these pay raises for UW system employees based on his adversity to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux yesterday said he wants to, and he's sick of holding this up. Talking the about 3 minutes we have left here, am I on to something or am I off base? There seems to finally be maybe a split within the party between absolute crazy and, look, we have to maintain some sanity.
Well, I think there's some split. I think the question with Paul Ryan is, you know, Paul, will you vote for Joe Biden if your choices are Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Because he knows that democracy is on the ballot. I think it also gets to something important. And I say this all the time. Tommy Thompson used to say, two kinds of politicians, those who want to be, those who want to do. For those who want to be, people who want to be, and I hate to say this because he was a friend of mine for a long time, Reince is demonstrating himself to be somebody that only really cares about wanting to be important, be in power. And Paul Ryan, I think if you look at his track record, well, I disagree with the fact that he chose not to fight like Liz Cheney has done, but to walk away and quietly fight behind the scenes. Paul was willing to give up the third most powerful position in government because he didn't want to be a part of it. That says something about Paul Ryan. Do I wish Paul Ryan would be doing more and speaking out more articulately? Well, he's starting to. But when you're fighting against these kinds of anti-democratic, autocratic forces, it really reveals who people are. And I will tell you, as somebody who made the choice that I needed to look my daughters in the eye, and I don't know how Reince looks his son Jack, who's the same age as my oldest daughter, in the eye, when he's resigning him to a future, if Reince gets his way, that doesn't involve American democracy. He doesn't.
Yep.
I will just say, it isn't about not having... growing up, it's not just about your kids or grandkids growing up in a Wisconsin or an America without democracy. You really don't want to see what the world looks like without that anchor of a strong, shining city on a hill that is America and American democracy.
We didn't have time to get to it with all the breaking news. Trigvi is a Packer owner. What a win. What a win over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Simone. They may have Tay-Tay, but we've got love, baby. Love conquers all.
We'll have more of the Packers with Trigvi Olsen next Wednesday. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you as always. Have a great week. Back with more on the other side, Kelly Call and also Jim McCarnis.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with the mass shooting that sent students into hiding at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Three people were killed near the business school building. Law enforcement sources tell CBS News the gunman, who also died, was a former college professor at two other schools, Las Vegas.